So on the flyer that has been getting as kind of the marketing for this series, you've got underneath the Daily Sacrifices title, the subcaption of Maturity in Christ, which the whole series is based on this maturity. Maturity in Christ is marked by a consistent mindset towards the daily attention of what is needful. And so I guess what we're going to move into is kind of outside of that thought of praise as just this one expression of singing or this one expression of what we find typically on a Sunday to be a place of praise, and look really what we find to be a much bigger scene here. For a lot of us, the first thought is maybe singing in a church, right? That's kind of where a lot of our minds maybe went with that. Or maybe it's the Sunday morning worship. Sometimes we may think it's, well, that's what we're going to do in heaven. Whenever we get there, it's just going to be all praising. And then we tend to stop there with that word. And while all of those, I think, are true pictures, if that's all we think that praise is, then Hebrews 13, 15, I don't think hits home the way that it should. And I'm hoping that we get to see that tonight. When we leave, it's like a much different way, much broader scope of what God is calling of me today. And what I can do in light of what I understand now, because it's much bigger than just what we kind of started with there. So because kind of where we are and what we'll see tonight is praise isn't something that we just do in church or what we do in heaven. According to the verse here, it's meant to be this daily sacrifice. You also see that it's continual. And we're going to jump into all of these ideas here in just a moment. But what it's doing is it's defining our walk with God right now. As we mature, as we grow and understand more about what he's calling of me through his word, we begin to see that there's this action, certainly, that's much bigger than just this moment that we come here and have our singing session and worship. And that's, I think, where maturity comes in. Immaturity tends to have this just occasional activity where I give God this moment of gratitude. Or maybe this window of prayer that I've got before things get busy today. Maybe something that we tie into, well, whenever I'm in the right mood, I'll give him more of me. And that maybe begins to have where our immaturity is bound and we no longer finding what he is calling us to do here with this idea of praise. Maturity learns to make praise this rhythm of life. You start to see that days go about much differently because of what we're seeing here. That my life, each step, as I offer it daily, as I go through it consistently, it's going to cost me something. That's the idea of sacrifice. So I want us, again, to leave here knowing that praise isn't just a word that we share here whenever we're having a Bible class discussion. And that leads us to the question, I think, that we're needing to ask here of what praise actually looks like. How do I know if I'm actually praising God on a Tuesday afternoon in the workplace? How do I know if God sees what I'm doing and receives it in the way that is, well, that he loves it? What if I feel disconnected or maybe unworthy in the season that I'm in, or just today how I feel, not in the mood to give what I think is praiseworthy? What then? So let's look into this some more. Let's talk about what it does say here. So now that we've read it, let's talk about just piece by piece, breaking it apart, almost word by word, if you will, starting with the first thought, through him. The writer begins here with this through him. He doesn't start with us. He doesn't start with how we feel. He doesn't talk about how polished our praise should sound. What he mentions is something that is a vessel, if you will, a vehicle of sorts, but it's much bigger than that. It's through Jesus that we're doing this. Why do you think it's put this way from the start? What comes to mind? Anybody have something? Why through him? Go ahead. That's Scott, right?
Well, a couple thoughts are coming to mind. First is that when I think Philip asked Jesus, you know, show us the Father, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then the second thing is we often pray to be more like Jesus, which in essence what we're asking is to be more like, more godlike, to have more of those godly characteristics like what he talks about in 1 Peter that we, or 2 Peter, I mean, but when we're given all things that, you know, pertain to life and godliness, and we develop these qualities, make us more partakers of the divine nature. And so I think, you know, through him to me means he is my example and what I'm trying to emulate and be like, because that's what God wants me to be.
Okay, almost the point of which, not access so much, but the idea of characterizing and what is pleasing and what also is the way he taught us to follow and pursue through. Anybody else? Through him. Let's go another one. Anybody? Good. That means we're all on the same page, right? Go ahead, Jim.
Well, throughout the entire series this summer that we've been studying Hebrews, we've always hit on the superiority of Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews was showing that Jesus is superior in all things. And the ones that he was preaching to, the Christians that were thinking about going back to Judaism, they would praise God. They would go through Moses or one of the ancestral fathers that they thought that they would worship through. So here the writer is emphasizing the superiority of Jesus again. That's who we go through to offer our praise.
Through him. So there's a sense of without him, what do we have? Kind of an emptiness, right? I don't think kind of. I think that's what we got. What we have is something that's not brought to the throne of God in light of what it is that I have to offer, because sin is going to still stand in the way without him. I think that's what we're seeing a lot of there, is this idea of even our best, no matter what it is, even if it's our words, even if they're better today than they were yesterday, we'll still fall short without him. He's the one who brings all of this into a place that it needs to be. With Jesus, everything changes. We go back to Hebrews 10 without going into a different direction too much here, but you see a few of those ideas in verses 19 through 22, where he mentions that we have confidence to enter the holy places by what? It's the blood of Jesus, not our blood. Not the blood of somebody else. So Jesus is something here that we need. Verse 20, by the new and living way that he opened. There it is again. Something he did. I didn't do that. For us through the curtain. That is through his flesh. There it is again. It's him. It's since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. How? Through him. Again, it's not Tim, it's not you, it's what Jesus has done. So we have this new and living way, we have this great high priest over the house of God, which means that we draw near and we do it with this assurance. That's what we're learning, especially throughout the Hebrew letter, not because we're clean on our own, not because I had a good day today, much better than all other days, but because he sprinkled my heart clean and he's washed me pure, and that's the foundation of praise. It's through him. Because I've got nothing good to offer here. Not on my own. It doesn't rest on my mood. It doesn't rest on my worthiness. I think we're seeing that more now. Whether I feel spiritual in the moment because I've got some better ideas than I've ever had before in light of this relationship to God stuff I keep hearing about. The only reason praise ever makes it to the throne of God is because it passes through him. That's it. And here's the beauty I think we see in this, is that that means no praise is wasted. The distracted prayer in the car, or that tired whisper at the end of the night when you're giving it everything that you can and it may not be as polished as we know maybe it has been before. Every bit of it is carried by Jesus into the presence of the Father. It's through him. So this means we can stop, I think, treating praise like a performance that God is grading, how it is compared to other times or even other people. It's not that at all. It's a gift the Father receives because Jesus presents it to him on our behalf. And that's important here. That's our confidence. Praise is not about my perfection, it's about his. So let's continue on here. He says next, through him, let us continually offer up. Well, what are we offering? A sacrifice of praise to God. Let's think about this continually offering up. Is this every now and then? Is this just on the Sunday when I'm here and I'm all here in my mind and I've got my sleep, I've got my belly full and I can focus? Is that whenever the praise really works? He says here, it's not just on those moments, it's continually. And this is something I'm always doing, so I just want to ask, how is this possible to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God? What do you think that means? Okay. That's right. So talking about the sacrifice itself, it encompasses everything. We're going to get to more of that here in just a few moments too. The idea of that sacrifice. Jumping into that thought of continually. What's that asking of us? What do you think it means? Any other thought?
Well, part of the by him too was that it's not optional. It's
not optional.
And continually is a mindset.
Okay.
So if we don't have intentions to do that, then that we're not doing it by him.
Okay. So it's a mindset. It's constant. Go ahead. Okay. All right.
This work. It's off.
Okay. I hearken back to, I guess about a couple weeks ago when Mark presented a sermon on a Sunday morning on I will sing. This is sort of a, you know, we sing praises to God. We do so all the time. We sing it continually. And this is something that we're going to be doing in heaven. It's been something that's been kind of, I'm trying to wrap myself around the idea of forever, mm-hmm. forever praising God. Mm-hmm. But that's what he wants. Look at what he's done for us.
Okay.
And continues to do for us.
Okay.
And will continue to do for us. Yeah. He's promised us that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to see a lot more of this collide and bring more thought to what is being said here. Seeing us doing a walk around in life of a 24/7 constant move in the lips, giving God all sorts of credit, saying good things about God, I'm not so sure that's the picture here. And the idea of having ourselves speak highly of him and everything, oh, praise God. Oh, man, don't you love Jesus? Oh, I don't think it's that. What we've got is something that is about cultivating. I'll go back to that idea of rhythm again. A rhythm of life. Just like Israel had morning and evening sacrifices, this new covenant believer builds this continual offering of praise in their life because of how they cultivate their life day after day. I think here's the key. This is every season. Whenever life is good, whenever life isn't so good. When I'm strong, when I'm suffering. Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5. We just heard this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That sounds constant, because it is. Even when times do not maybe feel it should be that way, because it could be sad and sullen. But what you get here is a part of what we recognize as this is who I am. And this is how I feel in light of what God has done for me. I'm offering up my best. Notice this isn't just in some circumstances. This is in all things. That's what we see in Job. I love this. We'll just kind of use this as an example. But in the very first chapter, Job is headhunted by Satan to get this testing of his faith. God says, okay, just don't strike him dead. And what you get here is Job, after all of this good stuff that we would deem as blessings removed from his life, he says this after losing it all. He fell to the ground in worship, said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How in the world is that possible? To have that kind of heart expression, even after all of that suffering. Because it's what he's cultivated in his life. We read about that prior to that moment of him doing this. So continually, I don't see this unbroken stream of song going on in a person's life to where their voice is just becoming so beautiful and sound because they practice it so much. I don't see that. But I do see a heart that's trained to be turning upward in moments of grief and despair, in moments whenever you're strong and even weak, and especially whenever you have plenty and you are also in want. It's nonstop. Think about your daily rhythms. Morning, at work, in the home, at night. What tends to come out most naturally for you when shaken? Is it words of praise? Or is it maybe complaints? Or maybe even silence? Now picture this. If you lived in Jerusalem under the old covenant, every morning and every evening, you couldn't escape the smell of sacrifices in the air. It shaped the atmosphere of the person's day. So here's a question for us before we move into these sacrifices of praise to God. What kind of atmosphere surrounds my life? What do people breathe in whenever they're around me? Is it the aroma of praise? Or is it the sound of negativity? And you see how that begins to transfer a bit differently whenever we think about what God is asking of each of us here. And so this sacrifice of praise to God, let's get into this now. This is something I think that's big to connect, because praise is called sacrifice. And let's jump into that real quick. What would we call praise now that we've gone through a little bit of this together? What would you say to that? What is praise here? Going once.
With all your heart and with all your soul. And when you do that, that comes from your appreciation for salvation. And that comes from the fact that God has given so much for us, and we appreciate it. We desire it. We desire that sacrifice. We desire that praise because we are changed people.
Yeah. Preach. That's good. Wonderful. What else? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Anybody else?
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared us beforehand.
So there's something that's a byproduct of who we are because of who he is and what he's done for us. And it seems to almost be automatic to some degree in light of our relationship to him. If there's obedience and faith, there's going to be something coming out that's much different than before. And people are not only seeing that, but it's also a much different me that's transformed in the likeness of him. I think what we get is hopefully a much bigger picture than what we get in the Old Testament. These sacrifices in the Old Testament cost something. To the average person, it was their best. That's what God called for. It was an animal. It was having to experience the blood of that animal, the time it took to go and offer that animal, maybe stand in line and wait until it was received. The effort that it took to do all of this that God had called the people to do, you couldn't walk away from sacrifice without feeling that loss. And I think that God intended it that way, that you would feel something to bring about, hopefully, change within. It didn't seem to be perfect because we didn't have a bunch of perfect people walking around because of this action. But now in the New Testament, we're not offering bulls or goats or birds anymore. Don't miss this part, that it still costs something. What costs us now is a life of daily continued praise. Guys, that's expensive. Here's why. Because sometimes praise means swallowing my pride and actually speaking his name out loud whenever I would rather be quiet and say nothing. Because sometimes praise means giving thanks in the middle of pain, whenever gratitude is the last thing I feel like offering to him right now. And sometimes praise means choosing to bless God when I don't feel like it at all. I'm just not in the mood. Man, if you only knew what was going on. When everything in me wants to sulk or complain, praise becomes the sacrifice I give instead. Makes me think of James 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it joy when you encounter trials of various sorts. The testing of your faith is going to produce something, that patience. God intends for that to happen. Praise him for that. That's why the writer calls it a sacrifice of praise. It's not always convenient. It's not going to be comfortable. But it's always worth it because God loves it. So hopefully we're seeing today that if my praise has never cost me anything, well, it's not yet a sacrifice, it seems. If it's something that's just haphazard and not in faith, or it's just going through some type of checkbox motion, well, is that what I want from my child? A have-to kind of result. So we get this idea of sacrifice, and he mentions that in the next part, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. There it is. That's what it's going to look like, sound like, be like. So when you hear fruit, think about it for just a moment in this verse. When you hear fruit, what do you think the writer is having us imagine? The fruit of lips. What are you seeing?
Product.
Well, I'm wondering why the use of the word sacrifice of praise, and you touched on it already, it had to mean something to us, but also the sacrifice in the Old Covenant had to be the best of the herd without defect. And I'm thinking here maybe we're speaking to the quality of our praise. Hmm. And you've already touched on that. It can't be something that we're just saying passing. It needs to be something from the heart and something that has cost us time. It says the fruit of our lips. Well, here, I immediately started thinking about the first fruits, going back to the sacrifices. God wants our best. Mm.
Yeah, our best product. I like that word.
Praise when you least feel like it does the most in your life. Mm. That's your sacrifice, is doing it whether you feel it or not at the moment, because you will feel it after you do it. Mm. And it produces, it just reaffirms our faith. It's letting God know that no matter how bad things get, we trust him. Mm-hmm. We know he's not going to not keep any promise he's ever made. And for that, the least we can do is give him our praise.
Yeah, and it makes me think, God doesn't need it, wants it. Knowing what also it's doing for us, I think about the widow who gave all she had. When we give and what it does for us, God doesn't need what money we have to offer. But he also recognizes what it's doing in transformation for us as we give in times that it does maybe not seem to feel good or at its best time with what little I might have going on. Go ahead.
And the product is We're not going to say that word when we get angry. Mm. We're not going to gossip, because our mouths were created to praise God. And it's a sacrifice when you live in a world and people are doing these things to get what they want or to get back at people. And you're resisting to do those things because you want to use your mouth to praise God.
And bringing about a product that's different than the rest that are around you. I hope we're seeing some new stuff tonight. I hope the mind's moving in ways that maybe we needed most. But when we think about fruit in this verse, you put your mind to something visible. Fruit is visible. If there's a tree, you know it by its fruit. Praise is the visible, an audible fruit of a life that's rooted in Christ. Fruit of the lips means it's not hidden in my heart. It's going to come out of my speech. People hear it. I think this is also about confession. Romans 10, verse 9, with the mouth of one confesses and is saved. Matthew 10, 32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. There's these expressions of him. And if you really, I think, would like to get a little bit deeper and just to some bigger ideas here, this idea of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5, that Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, there's this living proof of what happens whenever someone becomes a friend of God and he makes everything right and redeems them. What they're going to do as a result of that is powerful. And he sees that in his great wisdom, that we, his friends, end up becoming ambassadors for him, speaking about the once and for all sacrifice for my sin that's also available for you too. That's the gospel wrapped up in good news. So praise is not vague. It specifically acknowledges him, makes him known. Think about that. That's allegiance. That's loyalty. It's us being a public witness, and that's his plan all along. He knew what he was doing. It makes me think of the song, The World's Bible, God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. It's just a song that says we're a product of what he intended to have us be, those who make his name known, while we have today to do it. That's the sacrifice of praise. Think of this, your favorite sports team, your favorite hobby. Guys, you don't hide that stuff. Some of us are annoying with that stuff. You think about how often our conversations come out, the t-shirts we wear. I mean, we're in Aggie land. That's just what's going on around us right now. The bumper stickers. It's the fruit of our lips as people who love Aggies, right? But the question is, does Christ's name come out of me just as naturally? Today, tomorrow, when times get rough, when times are escalating and they are good, what's going on? If someone only had your words from this past week to go on, would they know that you belong to him? So let's just finish off with this idea of what all of this means. Going into the Old Covenant for just a moment. Under Moses, there was something called the continual burnt offering. Every morning, every evening, a lamb was placed on the altar. If you take notes, that's Exodus 29, also Numbers 28. You can read about that there, what that looks like. But then in the New Testament, and the Hebrew writer does a lot of describing this, the entire chapter does well describing this transfer, if you will, how things are set up now. Hebrews says Christ's death was once and for all. That's Hebrews 10, 12 through 14. So one sacrifice, one and done. No more animals, no more smoke. But does that mean the sacrifices are over? Not at all. I think what we're seeing now is that it's shifted, right? Under the new covenant, you and I, according to Peter, 1 Peter 2, were priests, a royal priesthood. Every day, our lips become the altar. That means sacrifice didn't end at the cross. It just transformed from animals now to acknowledgement. Who I am makes all the difference in the world. In the old covenant, sacrifice was centralized at the temple. Think about this for a moment. Took place at the temple. In the new covenant, the temple is who? Or where is it? It's in us. It's changed. So every room that I walk into, and also you, Christian, becomes an altar of praise. What you do, how he uses these hands, these feet, this mouth, what we have ourselves involved with now matters. Because he intends to use those things to make him known. That's powerful. That completely reshapes my responsibility. Under the old covenant, the priests were the ones who kept the fire burning on the altar. Now that responsibility falls on you and me. Every time we open our mouths, something is going on the altar. Either it's a complaint, could be silence, maybe it's a praise that confesses his name. In other words, every believer is carrying about this priestly responsibility now. And the only question is, what sacrifice am I putting out there today? That's what we're seeing. And that's the weight of the verse. God isn't asking for an occasional song, not having us show up whenever I can, on the days that I feel like it, and then getting back into the cares of the world that get me back into doing what everyone else is doing. We see that this is something he's asking to be continually through Jesus in every season, and especially when it's costing me something. We've been talking through this whole series about maturity. I want to wrap this up now. And where I've been in light of where I'm going, who I am today, do I see a difference? Am I trying to make a difference? For what he's done for me in light of what I'm doing for him. Growing up in Christ means moving past praise just when I'm in that mood, or just when I'm here on a Sunday out of habit. And now into a praise that's a daily sacrifice. Am I seeing that now? I pray that you are. Because we need to press on to maturity. Mature faith says, every day I will offer him something worthy. That's what it means to be formed into the likeness of Christ. I want to end it there. That's all I've got planned in light of what we have to move through in this text. I want to open the floor to anyone now that we've gone through this to just carry on the discussion. Would anyone like to go ahead? Please. I think we got 5 minutes exactly to talk, so this is great.
I don't take up 5 minutes.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I've been thinking of a song this whole time you had been talking about all this, and I was just reading the lyrics. I know it as Father God. Some other people know the song differently, but I'm just going to read the first verse and a piece of the chorus. Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I could fall. Lend me your strength to hear your call. And then this is the chorus. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name. And it repeats that a couple other times.
I know that song, now that you did the chorus.
Everyone knows the chorus, but I just think when it says, lend me the strength to hear your call, I think about when you mentioned through him, you know, like he's giving us the strength during a downtime or a hard time to praise him. And may our thoughts be praised. And I feel like just similarly how we had talked previously about, you know, pray without ceasing, you know, just continually thinking on him, looking up towards him, like you mentioned. I don't know. It just, it seems like the song ties really well to this passage.
Amen. Yeah, I see that. It ties really well to the Bible app verse this morning, Deuteronomy 31, that he's with you wherever you go. Be courageous. I mean, even when it's in the valley, like, he's there. We're in the cleft of the rock. He's the rock. Okay, I'll stop there. I don't want to keep preaching. Go ahead.
Similar to Jim's point about the quality of the praise, I was thinking about James 5, which talks about the patience required. It says in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." He's got to tend that seed. He's got to plant in the right soil. And so I think what I need is more patience, and I need to have the right ingredients going into that praise, which means I'm going to meditate on the word. I'm going to spend time with the right people. It's all of those things.
Dan, so the word lands on the heart. That's the seed. The storms come. That's the water. Who brings the increase?
Lord.
It's always the Lord. But you got to get the water through those storms sometimes. I see that sometimes it's dry ground. Again, withering roots. We don't have enough hydration through the word. I mean, there's a lot of ways to put that out there to help us just hyper-focus on the fact that God's going to bring this growth. We walk in step with him, keep in step with him. I mean, there's a lot of cool things we can attach to that. Thank you. Go ahead.
In verse 15, the second half of that, I believe your translation said, the fruit of our lips, they acknowledge his name. My translation says they give thanks to his name, which further emphasizes in my mind the thankfulness aspect of praise. Mm. And then sneaking ahead a little bit, taking a peek at verse 16, I couldn't help myself, connected with an and. It talks about such sacrifices. In the two verses, why do we do them? It says because with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So that's our reason, our motivation. That's why he wants them. They please him.
That's right. Yeah, in verse 16, ESV, it mentions that it's not neglect to do good and to share. There's a big part of action there. Thank you for that. Yes, good.
Yeah, I see the phrase, the fruit of the lips. I think in terms of permanence, in terms of not what we do necessarily, but who we are. In other words, what we do comes out of who we are. Lips are permanent parts of us. And if his name is on our lips, then it is kind of ready to launch.
Yeah.
In other words, that's who we are. It's not something we plan. We do it without thinking about it because he is so deeply in our heart.
That's right.
That's what we desire to do. And that's what we do naturally. You use that term, and I think that's a good term.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what speaks. The heart's filled with faith from the word of God. Woo. You're going to pour out that speech, man. It's going to be beautiful. Go ahead, Jesse.
I've just been reminded this whole time of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Or some of the versions say your rational service. In other words, it's a thing that makes sense to do, right? If you are a Christian, if you have given yourself over to God, the only thing then that makes sense for you to do is for every aspect of your life to give praise to him, to give acknowledgement to him, because it is all because of him and through.
Yeah, that's the God is good expressions. I'm blessed, not I'm lucky. I think of all those sorts of little micro expressions that tend to let people know what's going on in here. Yeah, anything else? I thought Jesse was going to get to do the mic drop. I thought the bell was going to go off right just then. Maybe time for one more? Oh, okay. You passed the ball. Anyone else? Well, I pray you guys are equipped to go out and do. This is the end of the series. I really wish above all things that, again, the prayer is that we find ourselves drawing more closely to him in light of what he's leading us to hear and understand, having our thoughts be filled with all of these precious things that we thought about tonight. I hope you were present. I know he was in light of who we are and what we desire to become like him. Our minds will hopefully be much like his after what we've gone through tonight together. So thank y'all for y'all's not only attendance, but participation in keeping this going along. That was